Luke chapter 10, where I'm excited that we are returning in our study of the Gospel of Luke. So if you will, join me in Luke chapter 10. We're really in these first 20 verses. We're getting to consider a ministry opportunity that the Lord Jesus gave to 70 of his disciples. Follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. So now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to Chorazin! Woe to Bethsaida! For the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Beloved, come to this passage. Obviously, this is not a passage we will finish today, because there is a lot here for us to consider, even all the way down to those closing verses in verses 17 to 20, when after the 70 returned to Jesus to give him their report of how certain things went for them. But I want us to know that throughout these 20 verses, there are essentials to ministry that we need to learn and we need to apply in our setting of ministry for the Lord today. What we will see is that this is a strategy, even a short-term mission trip, that the Lord Jesus put forward for these 70 of his disciples. Because there is no indication in Scripture that these 70 were to continue past this mission. Not in this capacity. They're not presented to us like the 12 apostles presented to us. When Jesus chose those 12 apostles, then later on he calls them together and appointed them for a specific short-term mission trip in the beginning of chapter 9. Another major difference we will see is that we know the names of the 12 apostles, but we're never given the names or the identity of these 70 of his disciples. Their service was more temporary, was to be anonymous, in that we would not know their identity, which for us, beloved, is a way in which much of the ministry we often do on behalf of the Lord. As we seek to fulfill our mission without really being known or recognized by others, yet we know it is something the Lord has called us and wants us to do. But as we get started with this passage and really with the details of this ministry endeavor, I think it's important for us to first off understand the big picture. The big picture of what's happening here, what's continuing here, what's taking place here. And by that, I mean understanding the plan of God as far as how this mission and this ministry opportunity for these 70 men will fit into that big picture of the plan of God and what He is doing, and as we see the results from it. I want us to see that by looking at where it is He wants these 70 to go, how it is He wants them to go, then what He is really sending them to do on this mission, but also to think about what or how it is He wants them to do it. What exactly is it that Jesus is calling on them to do? What is He calling on them to say? You see, we must never forget that Jesus has been going about in His ministry now for a little over 2 years, maybe even getting closer to 2.5 years. And as He's been doing that, He's been presenting Himself to the people, particularly to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, to His own people. And what I want us to see today is that this is what He is continuing. He's continuing this phase of His ministry. He's continuing this phase of His mission. And we know His ultimate purpose and mission is to go to the cross. And it is actually through Him fulfilling this phase that will bring that about. But we're going to see these 70 continuing what Jesus was doing, continuing what He sent the 12 to do back in chapter 9. So let's just start for a moment. Look back in verse 1. Just see, where is it that He wants them to go? He says, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and He sent them in pairs ahead of Him. And here's the answer, to every city and place where He Himself was going to come. See, they were to continue what He's been doing all along. He's just now expanding it. And predominantly, beloved, where Jesus has been going, He's been going predominantly into the Jewish communities, into the Jewish cities, into the homes of Jewish people. In fact, if you recall over in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 15, it is there that there's a Canaanite woman that comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's not to say that He never went into and tried to go to a Samaritans or to among the Gentiles. We see that back in Luke chapter 7, in the ministry He did in the centurion's home of a Gentile. We know in Luke chapter 8, He went into the community in the area there of a Gentile area. We know from John chapter 4 that He went into the community of the Samaritans there as well. But what we have seen, beloved, is that Jesus has predominantly been going into the cities of Israel, of the Jews. And just so you know, when Jesus again sent out the 12, if you go back for a moment in chapter 9, remember back in verses 1 and 2 when He called together the 12, His 12 apostles, and He gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases, and He sent them out to go and proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Now, what we know also from that is in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 5 and 6 that He told them on that journey, you're only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't want them going to the Samaritans. He didn't want them going to the Gentiles. Yet, we know there are times when He sent them in the crowds to the area of Samaria. We saw that even here in the end of chapter 9. When He was determined in verse 51 to go to Jerusalem, He sent messengers on ahead of Him, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans. But beloved, what I want you to see is what Jesus has been doing is traveling around from city to city, town to town, and village, really doing the same thing. Going into Jewish synagogues, going into their homes, speaking out in their communities, coming into their cities and speaking as well. In fact, if you will, for just a moment, go back to Luke chapter 4. After Jesus had performed the amazing miracles in Capernaum, which became his home base, the crowd there wants him to stay. It says in verse 42, they came to him and they tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So what did he do? He just kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea, out into the areas. See, up until recently, beloved, what's Jesus been doing? He's traveled a time or two into Jerusalem, where he has ministered the gospel there as well, the message that he was proclaiming. But I want you to know, as we've been going through Jesus' ministry, he has predominantly been into the Galilean area, traveling around in the Jewish communities in the Galilean area. That's where he sends his 12 apostles. And now, as he's starting on his journey to Jerusalem, remember back in chapter 9, verse 51, when the days were approaching for his ascension, that is his departure, and by departure there, the departure is, he's already been forewarning them, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be raised up on the third day. And he's determined to go to Jerusalem. And as I said, where he is there in verse 51 of chapter 9, it would take him at most maybe 2 or 3 days to go from there to Jerusalem. So you see, he's not going directly there. He's still on this same course. He's still on this same mission that he's been since back in Luke chapter 4 when he began his public ministry. He's still going from town to town, village to village, city to city, and he's going throughout the communities, and he's predominantly going into the cities of Israel to preach this message. And now he wants these 70 men in the 35 pairs to go out before him and proclaiming that message before he would even get there. This is what he's asking them to do. And they're now going more out of the Galilean area, now into the Judean area. To the Judean area. See, he's going to circulate his way now into the Judean area for this short period of time, just as he had been doing throughout the Galilean area, focusing in on the people of Israel with the same message, with the same miracles that we see. The fact that he appoints 70, 35 pairs, is to now circulate and flood this area as a representative of Jesus and flood them with the message he's been proclaiming since Luke chapter 4, and he started off in Nazareth and then went to Capernaum and to the other places, and also performing some of the same types of miracles. He sent them out on this short-term mission because, remember, ultimately he's going to Jerusalem. The Galilean region he's been circling in that area for about 2 years, and now he's going to be in this area for about 2 to 3 months. Which would understand why he would want to flood it more with men going out and representing him and what he's doing. See, what's the plan? Again, what's the ultimate plan? He's on his way to Jerusalem to die. But as he's doing that, remember this, as he's going to Jerusalem, he's going there to be rejected. He knows he's going to be rejected. He knows the leadership. He knows the nation. He knows overall the people as he comes to Jerusalem and he's coming there presenting himself to them officially and publicly. He knows they're going to reject him, and that rejection is going to lead him being turned over to the godless men of the Romans, where he's going to be put to death on a cross. God's going to raise him up on the third day. As I said, as he's coming into Jerusalem, he's presenting himself to Israel as he's riding in on the donkey that was promised over in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, where it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, and he is just and endowed with salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And that's how Jesus came to them. He came to them exactly as the Word of God said that he would come. It had been promised in the Old Testament that their Messiah would come and they wouldn't recognize him. Their Messiah would come riding in humility before them into Jerusalem, and they wouldn't recognize him. And they would actually have him cut off. Jesus knows this. Jesus, as we'll see, will be weeping over Jerusalem. You see, beloved, because he knows. He knows before he ever rides in on the donkey, they're going to reject him. They're going to reject him. But for right now, as we're here in Luke 10, he's still on that same phase of that ministry as he's transitioning and he's moving to his ultimate goal of going to Jerusalem. His focus is still on reaching out predominantly to the Jewish people there, to have them to recognize him for who he really is. And I think another thing that shows us that this is the still the same phase of the ministry of what he's asking these 70 to do, it's the same thing he sent the 12 out to do, the same thing he was doing as well. Because look down in verses 4 through 10. When he gave them the instructions here, here's how I want you to go. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes. If you enter a house, here's how you treat the house. If you enter to a city, here's what you do. If that city doesn't receive you, I want you to go out and knock the dust off your feet so that you let them know that judgment's going to come because of their reaction and the response to the message and to ultimately who Jesus is. And I want you to see that is pretty much the same thing Jesus told the 12 to do. If you go back to chapter 9 for just a moment, it says in verse 2, he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. Don't take a staff, a bag, bread, money. Don't even take two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. But as for those who don't receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. He's asking basically these 70 to do the same thing that he asked the 12 to do. As I said, Matthew tells us in chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 12, he says, you go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what these 70 are doing. And we know this is still in that phase of his ministry for them and what Jesus is doing and why this would be effective in trying to reach in the Jewish community at this time and by the instructions he gives. Because that's going to change. This is going to change. I pointed this out when we were back in Luke chapter 9, but look for just a moment. Go over to Luke chapter 22 for just a moment. Luke chapter 22. And remember what Jesus says as he's getting now near his death on the cross, being betrayed. And Peter is pridefully saying he would never deny Christ. And Jesus is telling Peter, you are going to deny me three times. Then he says in verse 35 of Luke 22, when I sent you out without money belt and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? And they said, no, nothing. And he said to them, but now, whoever has a money belt, take it. Likewise, you got a bag, take it. You don't have a sword, sell your coat, go buy one. For I tell you that this is which is written, must be fulfilled in me, that he was numbered with transgressors, for that for which he refers to me as its fulfillment. They said, look, Lord, here are two swords. He said, that's enough, get them. Moving into a different phase of ministry. So when I look at where he's asking them to go and how he's asking them to go, how he wants them to go, it lets us know he's continuing the same mission that I am bringing to your attention. This is what's happening here when we're looking at these 70, and we're going to look at this ministry endeavor. But now thirdly, let's think about what is it he wants them to accomplish? What is it that he wants them to accomplish? Really, it's the same thing he's been seeking to accomplish, what the 12 went out to accomplish. Back in our text, back in verse 2 of chapter 10, Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, go." You see, beloved, though Jesus knew that the nation, the people as a whole, were going to reject him. Remember back in chapter 9, verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day." He knows all that. He also knows this, that God has his people among them right then and there. His people that he's going to save. His people that he's going to redeem. He's telling them there's still a significant harvest of souls for salvation that still haven't been reached. I've been going around for 2 and 2.5 years. I've gone around, the 12 have gone around, but Jesus knows there's still more scattered throughout there, and you got to go and find them. You're the laborers of the harvest. It is the Lord's harvest, as we're going to talk about when we come back to that in the weeks to come. But notice what he's saying. This is your purpose. You're going out to be used of God for the harvest. For their salvation. That's what he wants to accomplish right now. You see, no matter where we are in God's program, no matter where we are in God's plan, redemption is a part of it. And it is a major part of it. It's not the whole of it, but it is the major part of what God is always doing. Redeeming sinners. Calling his people to himself. We see this throughout Scripture, God redeeming a remnant, calling and keeping them to himself, a people for himself, a people who will call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, beloved, listen very carefully. Even in this phase, redemption is at the heart of God's plan to bring glory to God. At this phase, Jesus is at the heart of God's people being redeemed. He is the Redeemer. And ultimately, what we're going to see is the cross is at the heart of that redemptive work. It is the foundation for how it is that a just God will actually justify and cleanse and forgive unjust people. God's plan, God's program is for redeemed people by Christ to bring him glory. You see, Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the ruler to bring about the full expression of the kingdom of God here on this earth. He's at the heart of it. And even now, this is what he's asking these 70 to do. At the very least, go out and prepare the people for when he comes. If he comes into their city, to be receptive to him, receptive to the truth, as we will see. That's why to do that, you have to go, as he says there in verse 3. Go. Go do what I'm asking you and calling on you to do. But now, let's look at another thing here. As we're just kind of preparing ourselves in this passage, what does he want them to do and say? See, that tells us a lot about where they fit in God's plan. What's going on here? They're going out to do and to say basically what Jesus has been saying and doing for the last 2 years, 2.5 years. Again, I read it to you a moment ago, but remember back in chapter 4, verse 43, he says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. I was sent for this purpose. I was sent for this purpose to travel around from city to city and proclaim the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus has been traveling around. Verse 1 says, soon afterwards he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. And he's been doing miracles as he's been proclaiming this message. This has been his focus. This is what he has been about. Remember, that's why when John the Baptist sent some of his disciples, John's in prison. For whatever reason, John has maybe some kind of doubt, just trying to make sure he's gotten this right. And he sends his two disciples to Jesus and says to ask him, are you the expected one? Or are we supposed to be looking for someone else? And what did Jesus tell them? You go back and you tell John what I've been preaching. You go back and tell him who I've been preaching to, and you go back and tell him all the miracles that I've been doing. Because he knew that's all John would have to hear. Why? Because John would know, based on the promises of the Old Testament, he would know if this is what's happening, he is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He's the one we've been expecting and longing and looking and hoping and wanting to come. We know that. Jesus sent out the 12. Go back to chapter 9 for a moment. Verse 2. What are they doing? They're going out proclaiming the kingdom of God, and they're performing healing. Proclaiming the kingdom of God, proclaiming the same message. They've been equipped at this time by Jesus to be able to perform the same miracles, performing healings there as well. It says in verse 6, departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Everywhere. And now we get into chapter 10 with these 70. Jesus tells them to go. Go into a house, go into a city. Here's how you eat. Here's what you do. Here's how you don't move around. But notice they're going to do the same thing. Verse 9, if you go into a city that will receive you, heal those who are in the city. And notice the message, just a summary of the message that you need to be saying to them. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Again, we're still going out proclaiming the kingdom of God to them. Proclaiming the message about the kingdom of God. Performing miracles that's demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. Please understand, beloved, this message about the kingdom of God does not include the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So back in chapter 9, just so you know, in verse 6, when it says that they were going around and preaching the gospel, they were not preaching that Jesus was going to die on a cross. They were not preaching that he was going to be rejected. They were not preaching that God was going to raise him up on the third day. They don't even understand that at that point. These 70 don't even understand this. They're not preaching the same that kind of message. They're not preaching about the suffering and the death of Jesus as the propitiation for their sins. They're not preaching that. That's not where we are at this point. Because if you recall, if you stay there in Luke chapter 9, go back for just a moment. In verse 22, this is the first indication that we're given in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus tells them explicitly about his suffering and his dying and his resurrection. That's when he said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. He alludes to this again later on
down in verse 43 and verse 44 and verse 45, he says, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, here's what he said to his disciples. Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of the men. But remember what we said in verse 45? They don't understand this statement. It's even concealed from them. They don't understand. Again, it's not that they didn't understand. They knew what he meant by that, that he was going to be rejected by the leaders. He was going to die. And he's saying, I'm going to be raised up on the third day. But they don't understand the significance of this. They don't understand, how does this fit within the plan and the program of God? What? I don't get it. They didn't get it. And my point in pointing that out to you, beloved, is that tells you that when the 12 went out in Luke 9, and it says they're proclaiming the gospel, that's not what they're preaching. And when these 70 go out and they're preaching, they're not preaching that either. Why? Because they don't understand it. They don't understand it at this point. But what they are preaching, they're preaching on the kingdom of God. They're preaching what John the Baptist and Jesus have been preaching. Repent. You need to repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. You need to repent of your sins. You need to repent of and have a change of heart about how it is you think God's going to accept you and you're standing before the Lord. And they needed then to recognize Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of the living God. You see, by saying to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. It had come near them in the person of Christ. It had come near them in the power of the miracles that were taking place. That's why the message and the miracles are all proclaiming and pushing the same thing and pushing them to be repenting of their sins, repenting of their attitudes, repenting of what they were thinking, how it is God would accept them, and recognizing by faith who Jesus was. That's what they needed to be doing. That's where they needed to come to understand. And that's what the Lord was having them to do. Because see, again, there is a large harvest of souls who have not repented yet and recognized Jesus for who he was. We know the elders and the chief priests, even overall the people, they're going to reject him. But there is a large harvest. Because even when we get to the end in Luke chapter 19, turn over there for just a moment. When Jesus does come riding in, he is officially rejected, but there are a large number of people recognizing him. In Luke chapter 19, verse 37, as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. And notice what they're shouting. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What should that bring your mind back to? Do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was born and the angels and appeared to the shepherds out in the field? Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So clearly there is a large number of people through the ministry of the 70, through the ministry of the 12, through the ministry of Jesus that came to truly understand who he was. But sadly, we see in verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd say to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus is weeping over them because he knows in verse 42, if you had known this day, the things that make for peace, if you just known, if you would have recognized the time of your visitation, if you just would have recognized me, if you'd have recognized what was going on, you'd have recognized what we were saying, the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is near, the kingdom of God is upon you. If you just would have recognized this, then you would have repented. You would have recognized me for who I was and embraced me, as we saw Peter do whenever Jesus asked him there back in Luke chapter 9, who do the people say that I am? And we've already seen, what are a lot of the people saying? Well, you're a great prophet, Lord. You're John the Baptist raised from the dead, Lord. You're the prophet Elijah, which was not sufficient. And Jesus said then to Peter, well, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. It is in you and you alone who have the words of eternal life. There's no one else we can turn to. That's what was wanting to happen through the ministry of these 70, through the ministry of the 12, through the ministry of Jesus. So I just want you to see where this special mission endeavor fits into the plan of God and what Jesus is doing. So he's building this towards going towards Jerusalem. He's sending them out to gather as many people as the Lord will harvest to them. But what it should cause us to do is this. Think about our mission. The one that Jesus has for us at this time in God's plan. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We're to go. We're going to make disciples. We're going to make disciples of all the nations. See, all the people groups. That's always been God's plan. Jesus Christ came to lay down his life as to purchase a people for God from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We go out and proclaim the gospel. And as we go out to make disciples and proclaim the gospel, beloved, we don't necessarily go, and listen carefully to this, we go with the authority of Christ, but Christ hasn't given us the authority to go out and to be performing miracles, casting out demons. We go out in the authority of Christ with the protection of Christ, as we're going to see, to proclaim the message of Christ, that message of reconciliation that God has given us that centers on Christ crucified. We go out with that message. It's focused on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, calling on individuals to repent and to trust Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, as their only hope. That's what the Lord has asked us to do. That's our mission. That's our mission. And we let God use us to gather in his people, to draw them to himself. And as we're going to see, we do that by faithfully going and by faithfully praying, just as Jesus asked them to do. And we're going to see as we continue to walk through this passage and even to the next section in Luke chapter 10, that this is all in the sovereign hands of God. And what our rejoicing should be in is that the fact that our names are recorded in heaven. Be faithful to our Lord. So what does Jesus want from us today? He wants us to go to all people groups. He wants us to go dependent upon him in prayer. What is he wanting us to do? To see a harvest of souls. What does he want us to say and share? He wants us to proclaim the good news in Jesus Christ. There's a forgiveness of sins in Christ. He wants us to show that love through our lives. That's the support to our message, our lives. We share the good news of Christ crucified. But that's only good news because we recognize the bad news. We recognize that we're sinners. We recognize that we're hopeless. We recognize that we're helpless. We recognize we deserve the wrath of God upon us. We recognize how unjust and how ungodly we are. And our only hope is in Christ. That's what we have to proclaim. That's what we have to believe for ourselves. That's what we have to embrace. This is where we are in God's plan and what he's doing. Be faithful to that. Be faithful to that. As we honor the Lord and what He's given us to do on our mission for today. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment. And I want you to take a moment to reflect in your own heart where you stand with God. If you need to come to Him through His Son Jesus, as I've shared with you today. But also want us as believers to think about the mission we're on. That we're faithful to that mission. We rightly understand where we are in the plan of God. And the message we proclaim. Ask God to help you be faithful, be used of Him to send you out to draw in the harvest. Gracious God, as we close this time now of the preaching of Your Word, Lord, as always, I pray that You would give us a greater heart for You, a greater heart for Your mission, greater heart for Your glory, a greater and a better understanding of the Word of God in its proper context. Lord, I pray for any soul that is here today in need of salvation. Lord, we pray that You would truly move upon their hearts to bring them to repentance and faith. Lord, just do a work in our hearts that we need to honor You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your hymnal.